Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bum in the Bloom, episode 243. It's a Thursday night, which means we're coming out to another week Fab preview, week 9 Fab coming your way this evening. Before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDAntrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How are we doing, my friend?
Doing pretty good, hanging in there. I'm down a tooth from our last episode, so been popping some pills the last couple days, watching baseball, golf. It's actually been kind of nice, despite the lack of a tooth, but doing pretty good, all things considered. I can still chew and eat, so that's at least for now.
I'd say you sound good for someone that got a tooth pulled. You can't even tell.
Oh, dude, we couldn't do it yesterday. We could not do this show. My left side of my face was numb. I would have sounded special.
That would have been fun. I guess we'll see how it goes tonight, but you sound good. You sound good, my friend. It sounds like we're backing at it. So nothing to worry about in that regard. So that's good. That's good. All right. Week 9 Fab preview. So we usually have a lot to discuss with schedules and two steps and most added and all that cool stuff. We got a couple minor news notes to discuss. We'll cover most of the news throughout the show as usual, talking team by team schedules, Ryan. But I want to get your thoughts on a couple things real quick. Tanner Houck heads to the IL. This kind of coming after another blow up, his second amazing start, one that we thought would never happen again, Ryan, happened a few weeks later type situation with Tanner Houck. We don't have like a timetable for Houck. We don't even know. Like, part of me is like, is this just a, hey,
do we even know if he's hurt
or is it, right? Yeah, is it a breather, like, or is it really an injury? So how are you approaching this? Because they haven't even announced a starter for him yet. They called up Cooper Criswell, but we don't know who is going to take the ball for Houck.
Right. I almost think it's like an IL stint because you suck and that's what's going on. But who knows? I don't know. Either way, I think we can safely move on from Tanner Houck, right? We're not stashing this disaster. It's kind of bad, you know, now because you write playing time tomorrow stuff for HQ, like you submit something and then like news happens and you have to redo it or whatever. That was me with Tanner Houck this past week. I did my annual like one bad start article on HQ, and at the time Tanner Houck had the one bad outing, so he qualified. He only have one bad outing to qualify for this list on the article I wrote, and then as I was writing it he got torched again, so I had to delete it. Some of the worst things you got to do as a writer, but I had to wipe that one out. I don't know. Cooper Criswell, is that who you said could be filling
Cooper
in?
Cooper Criswell was recalled. Yes.
I don't know. It probably is more runway. Like actually, we'll talk about Red Sox when we get to Fab. But like, Walker Buehler's coming back. Hunter Dobbins is probably the one.
Yeah.
That gets the most runway from this, probably stays in the rotation, and Criswell either spot start or gets a long look. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know.
It's rough. It's rough is the bottom line from that one. So wait and see there. But I want to ask you another one. The Seattle Mariners, who had all the health luck last season, it's been dwindling rapidly. And Bryce Miller now heads to the IL. He's on the 15-day IL with what appears to be shoulder inflammation or elbow inflammation is what they're going with right now. But this is frustrating. I talked about it on Breakfast with Bubba recently. After his last start where he struggled, he says, oh yeah, for the last couple of starts, I've been pitching through shoulder pain, essentially. Like I've been not physically up to par, if that makes sense. He said it's been lingering since spring training now is the latest coming from him. So where are you at on this one? Because the Mariners have done this with Brian Wu and it's been successful, but Miller does not seem to have that skill set just yet.
Not yet. And yeah, this was kind of the least surprising IL stint in the world. You're right. For as lucky as the Mariners were last season with health, like I don't think they missed a start except for Brian Wu between Logan Gilbert, Castillo, Kirby, and Bryce Miller. Like it was pretty lucky, and that has now totally flipped, right? With Gilbert, Kirby, and Miller all on the IL. The Mariners don't have no one has bad rotation depth this deep if you lose your three studs. So I don't know. Like, I think Jonathan Diaz is supposed to pitch on Friday at the Padres.
He's scheduled to pitch Friday. Yes.
It's ugly. I mean, that's ugly. He's got, I think, like a 10-13% strikeout minus walk in AAA this year. So he's not one you want to pick up. It's a little bit more runway, I guess, for Hancock still in there, but for Evans. And so Logan Evans, he's not that good either. That's a streaming thing. So Mariners are just going to have to kind of suck this up, maybe hope to go 500 until Gilbert and Kirby come back, which
Kirby could be back next week.
I don't know.
Yeah. Kirby could be back next week. Gilbert's definitely taking more than 7 days to return. But Kirby should be back next week is for sure. Gilbert literally threw a 25-pitch bullpen session on Wednesday. He's going to need a few rehab starts to come back. So just doing the quick abacus. More than 7 days on that. Scott Burks in the chat says, saw a tweet that said, Wu has thrown the most innings of any Mariner starter since the All-Star break. That is wild. But I believe it. I believe it. That's wild.
I can't believe it. I don't know how Brian Wu was doing this. I never will, but it's wrong on him.
Yep, so was I. So was I. I will mention I didn't put it on the sheet, but just thinking of Miller dealing with stuff, did you see the news about Roki Sasaki, who went on the IL and said he's been pitching through shoulder pain for at least 2 to 3 starts and the velocity's down? Should have had Tommy John surgery at one point, so on and so forth. So that's another frustrating one.
I heard that on a certain podcast I listened to in the mornings, named after a type of meal. So, yeah, I did hear that. That's pretty bad. It's been a
sultry, like, amazing voice to listen to, is my only guess, but yes.
Yeah. But no, that's I don't know. That I feel like this is like, I don't know if this is more prevalent this year or not, but just like to us, at least, it's some of this obvious stuff where it's like, what are we doing? Why are we pitching through this? The same thing with Sasaki and Bryce Miller. Like, I don't know. I don't get, I guess I know they're competitive. They want to, but it's just more damage. Yep.
More damage than good. Let's look at the good, though. Let's talk about a Week 9 fad preview, Ryan. We'll get jumping right to it. A lot more news to talk about, guys, off the IL, so on and so forth. Again, we'll hit these up throughout the schedule. When you look at the initial schedule, Ryan, what stands out to you this week?
A good amount of green in the games played column of our weekly planner here, which, again, available for our loyal and fine Patreon subscribers. You get access to this updated every day, but some nice green for games. So Baltimore, Boston, Cleveland, Detroit, 7 games. The A's, Houston, Angels, and Mariners all with 7 games. Phillies, 7. Brewers, Pirates, Rockies home for 7. We'll talk about that, but a lot of baseball next week. So that is a very good thing in general. No 5-game weeks either.
Beautiful. So let's get to it. We go team by team to discuss the schedule and players we'd like to potentially add throughout the week. And we will kick it off in the AL East as usual with the Baltimore Orioles. They have 7 games coming up this week. 3 at the Milwaukee Brewers, 4 at the Boston Red Sox. Looks like it's all right-handed pitching, which is great because the Orioles suck versus left-handed pitching right now. So that is a big plus. I wrote up Mackenzie Gore. He's the cover boy for daily matchups on Friday, just to let you know, because it has been atrocious for the Baltimore Orioles versus lefties. So they need this in a big way. What stands out to you for potential plays to like this week?
I do think, to kind of put some numbers towards that – I don't think there's a bigger split of any team, lefty righty, in baseball.
Yeah, it's good
in terms of how bad they are against lefties. The Orioles, it's a 50 WRC plus against lefties. That is truly abysmal. The only team worse is the Angels.
The Angels, yes.
And the Angels just aren't good. Whereas the Orioles against right-handed pitching have a 113 WRC plus. So don't just automatically look at pitching matchups with the Orioles and think it's tough. Lefties like Mackenzie Gore, it's a matchup to actually stream against and to target. So I don't know. 7-game righty week is nice, but like, I mean, the obvious Ryan O'Hearn, but Ryan O'Hearn he's like popular now. So it's
well rostered.
We knew him. We knew him when. I'm not gonna go Ramon Urias. Not gonna go even Heston Kjerstad. Like,
nope.
Guess did homer recently, but it's starting to lose playing time against righties. So I don't really have much for the Orioles despite the 7-game week against pretty weak competition. Right-handers.
Yeah, I don't have much there. You mentioned Ramon Urias. I just wanted to mention that Jordan Westbrook suffered another setback in his rehab. Yep. So if that's of interest to anybody, we don't know the full extent, but he's shut down once again. And that just means we probably have another 2 to 3, maybe 4 weeks before we see him again. Time will tell. Maybe it's just a couple days. Who knows? But Ramon Urias was activated from the IL the same day. He's back. He'll play every day. To your point, not super excited about it. I want to bring up Jackson Holliday real quick because it's a guy we've talked about time and time again. He's been hitting towards the top of the order of late. I'll give him that much. He's even played against a lefty recently, which is a plus. And over the last 13 games, he's hit safely in 10 of 13, hitting .277, but just those two home runs he hit in the same game. So 6 runs, 4 RBI, still a guy not really doing much for the stat column. So just want to bring that up again. If you're looking for a drop, I'm not saying drop Jackson Holliday, but he's not an automatic play anymore, like people said. And I'll keep banging that drum until I guess I need to stop, because right now, if you look at Holliday, he is still 100% rostered.
Yeah, he's widely. So, but leadoff against righties is notable. Did not realize that.
Yeah, very notable, but just something to monitor. Like, it's almost like if he can't do it this week, really might be time to move along.
Yeah.
Boston Red Sox, they have 7 games coming up this week, 3 at home versus the Mets, 4 at home versus the Orioles, all right-handed pitching and a pretty solid set of options for the Red Sox to face this week. Not saying to pick up because most of them are rostered. So anything on the Boston Red Sox?
Not too much. I mean, so we hit on the rotation in the news part. I actually do like Hunter Dobbins. He's got a two-step. So we'll do the yay or nay, I guess, at the end of the show with Dobbins, but gets the Mets in Baltimore. It's a righty, right, against Baltimore. So that it's kind of a tough two-step, but I think Hunter Dobbins at least has shown pretty good control, pretty good skills so far in 15 teamers, someone to look at. And I think he's going to be in the rotation for at least a little while because what's his name? It's on the IL, whoever we talked about.
Tanner Houck.
Yeah. you'd think I was the one who was at the fair all day today, but
it's
not. Richard Fitz is coming back soon. I don't like, honestly, I think people just like his name. I don't think he's any good. Which is fair, sure. Yeah. But like, I don't think he's any good. I don't really understand why Richard Fitz was being like drafted so high before the season. So he's coming back and at least somewhat soon and could take Dobbins' spot in the rotation, but I don't know, man. He's not that great.
Yeah, it looks like he needs at least 1 or 2 more rehab starts. So still a little bit of time for Mr. Fitz, but yeah, he could come back. He probably will come back because he was in the rotation to begin with. So something to keep in mind. And I just want to highlight, similar to Jackson Holliday, people love their prospects. Christian Campbell keeps playing every day. Christian Campbell has not been right since he suffered that side injury. He missed just a couple of days, didn't go on the IL. Since the start of May now, he's hitting .103 with 1 home run with a 33% strikeout rate. So keep that one in mind. He's not an auto start. This is why I'm just bringing these guys up. They're not really drops. They're not guys you can add, but people are doing the Gene Segura with some of these guys. Christian Campbell should probably be benched for you right now until things change. So wanted to throw that one out there as well.
Still very curious before we move on. This first base experiment is just not going well.
It's so bad. So bad.
So our man Romy went to the IL. We got Nick Sogard up here trying to play first base, at least against Abraham lefties. Toro. It's a tough scene. And Abraham Toro. Apologies to Abraham Toro.
Yeah, how could you forget Mr. Toro? He already had a home run this past week. Come on, man.
Oh God. Yeah, brutal at first base for Boston.
It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. Rafael Devers is DHing. I'll leave it at that. All right, let's go to the New York Yankees on this one. They have 3 games at home in the Bronx versus the Rangers. And then they go to Colorado for 3. Aaron Judge in Colorado. We saw what Aaron Judge did in Sacramento. He goes to Colorado now. 2 lefties, 4 righties. It's the Yankees, so probably not too much to get excited about on the waiver wire.
No, not too much. Your guy is back. DJ LeMahieu is back.
Oh, fuck.
I think you liked him like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, so I was about to go, where's he going with this?
He's still your guy.
DJ LeMahieu. Once my guy, always my guy, apparently.
Yeah, so we remember things. DJ LeMahieu's back, but that's not great. Your good Yankees are rostered. The name I will throw out is, and I was surprised to see like only 63% rostered in 12 teamers, is Will Warren. pitching,
yes, great call. Great
pitching call. Very well right now, despite a 4.61 surface ERA. It's the FIP, XFIP, whatever you want to look at, is like in the low threes. 28% K rate for Will Warren. I think struck out like 8 or 9 in his most recent outing. So Will Warren is absolutely viable in 12 teamers. I think the schedule's very nice coming up. And it's actually, it might be a two-step.
61% roster too. So
it's a Texas Colorado two-step, and I'm not worried about Coors. So check for Will Warren. He might actually be kind of expensive this week in leagues where he's available.
That's a great call. I talked about him on Breakfast with Bubba the other day after his recent start in Seattle. His last three starts is three May starts, essentially. He's thrown 17 innings, allowed 6 earned runs with 24 strikeouts and 5 walks. His last two starts, 12 1/3, 3 earned, 16 strikeouts, 2 walks. That was at the A's, which is not a great place to pitch. Yeah. And at Seattle, a very good offense right now. So very respectable starts from Will Warren. It's the old adage, like, hey, these young guys might need some time in the bigs to get seasoned type thing. And maybe it's just a couple starts and he goes back to being tough. Who knows? But to Ryan's point, with the matchups coming up, with pitching so difficult to find already this time of year, yeah, he might be a little expensive this week. It's a great call, and someone who's been pitching quite well of late. Tampa Bay Rays. They have 6 games coming up this week. 3 at home versus Houston, 3 at home versus Toronto. 2 lefties, 4 righties. One of the pieces of news I did not bring up to the show because I knew we'd bring it up right here. Josh Lowe is back, folks. He was actually supposed to come back on Friday, but they brought him back on Thursday for Toronto. He went deep in his first game back. Now we know the Rays like to platoon. So you got that going for you with Josh Lowe. But dude is an absolute unit for fantasy when he's healthy. There's really no denying that. He's still 100% rostered in 12, which is pretty damn impressive, honestly, to be out that long.
Jesus, he got 100%. Hurt opening day, didn't he?
Pretty close to it, if not, yes. So the fact that he's 100% rostered shocks me. But if you're in your Yahoos, your CBSs, your ESPNs, check it out. He might be available. And as Nick Anderson says in the chat, he was crushing it in his rehab starts. Homer in his first game back. He should be rostered everywhere.
Agreed. It's Tampa Bay, given the line change nature of some of this, it's tough in a 2-4, 2-lefty, 4-righty week. Like your Jonathan Aranda, again, widely rostered, Meisner too. Those guys may want to only play them over the weekend if you can, because the Rays get 2 lefties Monday through Thursday, so that's not great for a midweek start. Kind of a random little flake here. Not an ad for this week in Fab, but I might imagine later on this season, Mason Montgomery got a save on Tuesday. Yeah. This is the like up and coming kind of next big thing in quotes relief prospect who's on the Rays pitching extremely well, 32% strikeout rate, just an 8% K rate, tons of whiffs, got the save on Tuesday. If when, whatever, Pete Fairbanks gets traded, injured, both Mason Montgomery, I think could be a very good closer if the Rays elevate him to that role.
Yep, that's fair. A dude throws gas. So
yes,
I don't I'm on the same page with you on that. To keep my trend of telling people to be careful with what they wish for right now, I just wanted to highlight another guy that's struggling tremendously, and that is Shane Boz, who many thought started out the year great, phenomenal.
Oh, the Boz struggling?
Last 5 starts, 21 earned runs and 24 innings pitched. 12 walks to 19 strikeouts. He's given 5 home runs up in those 24 innings. It's been the struggle bus, to say the least. He had 1 great start at San Diego. Other than that, he got 5 against the Yankees, 7 against the Royals, 6 against the Phillies, 3 4 2/3 in Toronto. It's been quite the grind right now. So again, another guy not an auto start these days with certain players. I know you might be limited. You might have to do what you have to do, but just keep that in mind. These guys are human after all. Toronto Blue Jays, they have 6 games coming up this week, 3 at home versus San Diego, 3 at the Tampa Bay Rays. No lefties. That means we have 6 righties, folks. And if you haven't jumped on the Addison Barger train just yet, you may want to hurry up.
That's what I've got. I mean, we recommended Barger last week and playing every day, homered at least once so far this week with more righties to come. So definitely like Addison Barger, and it's a good schedule for Toronto. It's not only like all righties, but it's I'll give you your guy, Dylan Cease. That's a good starter.
He's around the last couple times.
Yes.
Haven't mentioned it to you, but just throwing it out there.
Unlike Niner and Ranola.
Yep.
Not great. You were pretty gracious with that. Discord didn't come after me too much with that Aaron Nola start.
Oh, but it's okay. I don't know if you read my content at Baseball HQ, but I did mention that if you look at Nola's just game logs in general, it's been a roller coaster of emotions with Aaron Nola this year. It's the best way I'll put it.
Well, when is it not?
But this is like next level. Like, it's hard to tolerate roller coaster of emotions right now.
Yeah. Back to the Blue Jays.
Continue.
I don't see much out of Addison outside of Addison Barguil. Like, you could go and earn. I know you mentioned Ernie Clement before. Yes. Nathan Lucas, deep. I would say deep leagues. Those guys are hitting like eighth and ninth in the order, and I don't know how much upside hard contact there is to be had there. But those Nathan Lucas is at least a streamable option for outfield, and Ernie Clement kind of qualifies everywhere within the infield. So I don't know, maybe they play a bunch, but that's about it.
Yeah, I'll give Clement a little more love than that, though. He entered Thursday riding an 8-game hitting streak, where he's hitting .419. Yeah, .500 BABIP, so it's not sustainable, but he's streaking. He has a home run, a stolen base over that 8-game stretch. So probably still deeper leagues to your point, but at least if you want to stream him in a 12 with these sets of this matchup setup with the Padres and the Rays, like, I don't hate it. Let's put it that way. I think there's especially with the Vasquez matchup and Colek. Colek's going to come back to earth on Friday, I have a great feeling about. If not, he will come back to earth sooner than later. So feel free to target that. And then we mentioned Boz, who's been struggling, and Pepiu and Rasmussen. They're good, but they also have their hiccups as well. So I want to just give Clement a little more love. He's actually playing pretty well at the moment. Chicago White Sox, they have 6 games this week, 3 at home versus Seattle, 3 at home versus Texas, 1 lefty, 5 righty. It's the White Sox. Like, I'll say this much. They're turning into kind of like a 2023 Tigers or Pirates, where all of a sudden we're like, okay, they're bad, but they have a couple guys that might kind of be interesting for fantasy, if that's fair to say. Like, I don't love them. Like, Vargas is in play. There's a couple options there.
Yeah, Vargas was the name I was going to mention. I was a little worried about Vargas going into Fab, actually, because he missed the weekend with, I forget what, but it didn't sound good. But then Vargas played, he's played every game this week and starting to turn things around a little bit. Popular ad, I don't know if he was that popular, but Tim Elko was at least mentioned in Fab last week in early. One home run through, 14 plate appearances. So hit a barrel, some strikeouts, which is kind of what Tim Elko is. So if you need some power, we know where he qualifies. Does he qualify at first in NFBC?
I'll check. I wouldn't be shocked if it's util only with the way that
works. He's first base. He's first base on NFBC. Yeah. So I don't know if you need a shot of power, Tim Elko might work, but I wouldn't go too crazy given the strikeout rate. So I don't know, man. Outside of that, It's stream against so the pitchers going against the White Sox this week: Brian Wu, Luis Castillo, George Kirby. If he makes that start, this is what Fangraphs has for probable.
Kirby's expected back that start unless something happens. Yes,
I mean, that would be a nice soft landing spot for Mr. Kirby. You got Tyler Molly, probably keeps the good luck train going, and then you've got Jack Leiter, pretty widely rostered, and then this is your guy, Patrick Corbin. Look at this. I almost, like you said in the Discord, what did you say in the Discord earlier today?
I already rostered him last week.
You said,
against Colorado.
I never thought these words would be typed in the year 2025. I here's Bubba, and I quote, "Good thing I was already adding Corbin this past week where I could."
Yes. Yes. Like, it's called
what a world. What a
rocky world. Start. 9 strikeouts, by the way.
I know. I know. No, I'm not. I'm not bagging you, and you absolutely roll Corbin out there against the White Sox. I don't think this, for Corbin, I don't think this holds, but it might for another week or two.
Couple things I'm going to bring up. The White Sox are making me angry because they're basically platooning Edgar Caro with Matt Theis, which is beyond idiotic. So keep that in mind. It's basically a 50-50 split. You still play Caro and you still play him, but just be prepared for more stupidity along that line. I want to highlight Andrew Vaughn Andrew Vaughn is 51% rostered in OCs, widely available. Andrew Vaughn, since May 3rd, he has played 11 games. He's hit safely in 10 of 11 for a 279 average with two home runs. He's striking out 23% of the time. I think there's some legs there, at least in a corner infield position in 12s with Andrew Vaughn. We know he's, like, going into the season with Vaughn, we're thinking, okay, he's going to hit for a decent average, hit you like 20 home runs, serviceable floor in a 15. Right now, he's producing enough with the struggles at first base in fantasy. He should be more than 51% roster right now, is what I'm trying to put out there. He's actually producing, so time to stop sleeping a bit on Andrew Vaughn is my point to this one.
Major uptick in hard contact for Andrew Vaughn. It's a 15% barrel rate. He's typically been right around league average of like 8% and hasn't really hurt the K rate. So despite Andrew Vaughn hitting under 200 for the season, things are trending up, like you just said, but it's also super low BABIP that will improve as well. So I recommend Tim Elko and you recommend Andrew Vaughn. I would take Andrew Vaughn. Maybe that's our 12 versus 15 team. Brains entering the chat, but that's fine.
Yes, it's fair. That's what we're here for. Cleveland Guardians, they have 7 games coming up this week, 3 at the Twins, 3 at the Tigers, 1 lefty, 6 righties. Problem is it's Cleveland, Ryan. So anything stand out to you with the Guardians?
Absolutely nothing at all. Like this team is struggling. It kind of sucks in a 7-game week that there isn't really much to go after, but it's also kind of a tough schedule. Right. It's Ober. It's Chris Paddock, who has pitched very well of late. Joe Ryan, Reese Olson, also good. Jackson Jobe starting to get a few more K's. Casey Mize, if he makes that start, and then Scooble. So like it's not a cakewalk. And I don't know. My boy is back. Remember when I recommended Will Brennan every week for like a full season?
Oh, I don't forget, my friend. I don't forget.
Hey, Will Brennan, 6 righties. Let's go.
Yeah. Lane Thomas starting a rehab assignment this weekend. Going to take his spot when he comes back. So keep that in mind.
I should probably stop just like naming all these scrubs because I do not want people to add Will Brennan.
Because it reminds me like the Lane Thomas news. I would have forgot. Now it reminds me he should be back next week. So that might put the end to the Will Brennan story. Something to keep in mind. Nick Anderson in the chat mentioned Schneeman. He's a popular pickup last week. And he's still 15s to me, not 12s, but ride it while it's hot, I guess, but it's a tough schedule, like Ryan said, so he wouldn't be a priority for me by any means. I get it in 15s, just not. I took him to 15 last week. I'm using him because of that flexibility more than anything with the injuries right now. But it's tricky.
Don't think Schneeman's really done anything this week.
It's just minimal. It's what he does.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Arias between the two. At least I think there's like power behind Arias.
I think I would do that too.
Detroit Tigers, they have 3 at St. Louis, 4 at home versus Cleveland, 2 lefties, 5 righties for the Tigers. Riley Green's been crushing it. I know he's not available, but I just want to mention he has woken up. Colt Keith is swinging it well. Trey Sweeney's swinging it well. This young Bucks team of Javi Baez we keep talking about, like, there is some fun on this roster.
Seriously, Gleyber Torres is
yes
hitting very well, too. Like, the Tigers are kind of a legit offense right now. I mean, in terms of fab, there's not much there. Like, I'll still go to bat for Trey Sweeney. He has hit well, and I think is pretty widely available.
11% rostered.
Very much widely available. So if you need a shortstop, like, I definitely like that. I think the Baez has been discovered at this point. Still don't. I mean, we had a spirited debate about Baez on Tuesday's show, so we won't rehash that one.
That debate at the moment. Just throwing it out there.
I mean, double dog. They played one thereafter. Game since
double dog shortly thereafter.
When? Bias?
He had a walk off. Yes, you double dog 2-3 grand overs in one game.
Since we argued about him,
It was either that night or a different night. I'll tell you right now.
It was that night, dude. They've only played one game since we.
Hey, I don't care. I'm gonna ride that wave. It was the 13th. So that was Tuesday night. Yes.
Yeah. So I knew this information when I was stating my case against Javier Baez. But no, he's been. I mean, he's been. I have Baez on a few teams. Very happy to see that. So, I mean, just real quick on the closer situation, it's just gonna continue being closer chaos. It's funny. Like when Will Vest gets a save, people go, "Oh, it's Will Vest." And when Canely gets a save, "Oh, it's Canely." And everyone's team Vest or team Canely or team whoever, it's just going to be a revolving door. So just, it's what you signed up for. If you can get 15 to 20 saves out of Vest or Canely, I think you call it a win given what you spent in Fab.
Yeah, for sure. It's what we said from the beginning. This is what's going to take place. So take it, run with it. And that was kind of the, when we talked that big Fab week with closers, like, yeah, we like Vest a lot, or I like Vest a lot, because I know he's in the platoon, but I still think he gets like 20 saves because they're going to split the duties. It's going to work out pretty well. You just have to be patient with it. It's going to be good weeks and bad weeks, and just you have to stomach it, essentially. To your hitting side, though, yes, go ahead, Trey Sweeney, folks. My question for you, Ryan, we haven't got to the Mariners, and we will eventually, but would you rather have Trey Sweeney or J.P. Crawford? Because that was a name we talked about last week as well.
I'd go Trey Sweeney, just because there's some ceiling there.
I'm with you, too. That's what I was wondering, where you'd go on that one. I fully agree on it. All right, Kansas City Royals, just in time for Kevin Hastings to join the chat. Perfect timing there. Six games coming up here, all on the road. Three at the Giants, three at the Twins, one lefty, five righties. Are you going back? Is the mountain about to erupt?
No, I don't think we're going back to Mount Massey. We are nearing the 45th anniversary of the eruption of Mount St. Helens, by the way. That is not a thinly veiled sign to add Mount Massey this week, though it is. I mean, it is five righties, but it's a tough one. It's a 17% K to walk for the starting pitchers going against the Royals. So, I'm not really seeing anybody in terms of Fab to add for the Royals right now.
Yep, I'm with you. Very tricky spot there. Tough matchups, not a ton to love. Minnesota Twins, six games this week, all at home, three versus the Guardians, three versus the Royals, two lefties, four righties, and Ryan, let's all say it, it's Zebby Matthews time.
Zebby time.
Yes.
So that's, I mean, and Zebby's going to pitch before this weekend, Fab. I think he's pitching Sunday.
Which so might not be available for Fab then.
May not be available in NFBC leagues, but in other leagues for sure. So Zebby Matthews, I think, is going to be the most expensive starting pitcher this week. I mean, what's your take on Zebby? Because anytime there's someone coming up, it's for us, right? When we talk about it, it's a combination of things. It's A, obviously how good they are. How good are they pitching the minors? What's the prospect pedigree? B, what are their matchups coming up? But really C, how long do we think, like how stable, how safe is that spot in the rotation for Zebby Matthews? So what's your take on that?
I love him. I think he's super, super talented. He's no Bubba Chandler, but he's pretty dang close when it comes to potential prospects coming up. The problem is it's in the dugout. His name's Rocco Baldelli. Because we already saw what they did with David Festa, who's been in the minors now throwing 5 2/3, six innings to start. Yeah. Couldn't do that in the pigs.
Yep.
That's my only concern, is what does Baldelli do with Matthews? The skills, great. No questioning that whatsoever. Now, some guys struggle when they get called up. That's just reality of the situation. That's why Ryan and I usually temper our expectations in Fab on these younger players. But if he has one overall skill set, I think he's great. I think he should be great. I think outside of minor hiccups, he should be very, very serviceable in fantasy. It just comes down to the workload that the Twins allow him to do.
Yeah, and last year, if I'm not mistaken, because I had Zebby Matthews on a bunch of teams at the end of last season, Zebby Matthews pitched 9, had 9 starts, went exactly five innings in 4 of them, went 4 2/3, the horrible 4 2/3, and 2 of them went 3 innings, that, 2 innings.
Just call that the Baldelli.
That's probably the modern day Baldelli. It used to be the Zambrano, but now it's the Baldelli. So yeah, I agree. I do think Matthews is up to stay as long as he pitches well. I mean, they sent down. It's not like someone got hurt and is coming back in 2 weeks or something. They actually sent down Woods Richardson. So like, I do think Zebby Matthews is up to stay. It is right. Can he go at least 5? And even going 5 innings, it's hard to get a win. But yeah, I think Zebby Matthews is a starting pitcher you absolutely need to prioritize if you need starting pitching. And by prioritize, if you're putting, I don't know, 15% of your remaining Fab budget, 20%, something like that, might be the number you need to get him. And I think, depending on how bad I need starting pitching, I think I'm willing to go there just because I think Zebby's good and I think he's going to stick in the rotation. And then I'm just going to hope he can go 5.
I agree with everything you said. I have no problem with people going for it. I still want Bubba Chandler.
Well, that's Bubba Chandler's going to cost.
And he's ready right now. But that's my point. If you spend on Zebby, you're out on Bubba. You're out. Like, there's, you can't afford it, I think. So it's, but then if you don't spend on Zevi, you try for Bubba and you're out. Like, there's obviously,
yeah, then you're SOL. Right.
Like, I get all those scenarios, get it all. But it's like, what, a perfect world, Bubba gets called up like tomorrow because he's ready. He threw five more innings his last start, he threw 85 pitches. Like, there's nothing to prove. And this is just about the Skeens time to, like, it is time to come. Yep. So that's what I would love to see. Like, get Bubba called up, and then bidding gets fun with Bubba and Zevi potentially this week. Yeah. But I agree to your Zevi point. Like, he's very worth the dollars. 15 to 20% makes sense. Like, he's could be one of the last big ones to come. To your point, I completely agree with that as well. I have him stashed in 2 15s right now. I've since opening day, I drafted him. He is my stash in those leagues. So, yeah, fully on board with you on that.
Another name I'll throw out, Chris Paddock. 11% rostered in 12 teamers. So this is the problem. I tweeted this out earlier today. Chris Paddock gave up 9 runs in his first start of the season. Chris Paddock has given up a combined 12 runs in his next 8 starts. Like, it's unbelievable what a heater Chris Paddock is on right now. Yeah. I think we all know the rules of fantasy baseball, though.
Yes.
I feel like this is like the ultimate nuke that is coming the second, because Chris Paddock's going to get picked up in a bunch of leagues this week. I'm still skeptical. Like, I'm still skeptical, but he is pitching well. And then I was surprised to see that he was only 11% rostered. Like, he's widely available in 12 teamers.
It's fair to point out he's been great. It's also fair to point out when you add him this week, you don't get those stats, folks. So remember Correct. That. When you pick up Chris Paddock, that the odds of getting like seven more starts with 12 earned runs or less probably is not happening.
Right. And and I'm looking at the starting pitcher planner. The next 3 starts for Paddock is at Baltimore. And again, Baltimore is very good against righties. At home against Cleveland, and at Tampa, who's also above average against righties. And like, the skills for Paddock, it's an 8% strikeout minus walk. Like, that's really bad. Pretty high ball rate, low whiff rate. So I agree. I just think the reason I want to bring up Paddock is because, I mean, every name we bring up, we don't recommend. I think it's also hopefully valuable for you all to learn to not pick up somebody, not bid on somebody who might be popular this week.
That's a good call, because people will see the recent form and jump on it. And there's a thing called jumping on a grenade in college. Probably don't want to do that right now. Let's go to the AL West. The Athletics, the Sacramento Athletics, they come home. They go west, young man. 7 games, 4 against the Angels, 3 against the Phillies, 3 lefties, 4 righties, makes things very difficult. But a name I brought up last week, Ryan, Miguel Andujar, continues to play every day. He's third base eligible now, which if he's not yet, at least it's one more game where he is eligible. I can't remember. Hitting for average, little pop, but average. Luis Urias still is playing good enough to be used in at least 15s, maybe a little bit of 12s. What stands out to you with the Athletics? Like, I know it's not mind-altering stuff, but pretty, pretty good stuff.
No, none of this is all that mind-altering. But I did not realize Andujar, third base, he will pick that up his next start. He's got 9 third base starts. Good call. I like Andujar anyway. Just the playing time's there. The 7 home games is good. He's going to play against both hands, so I like that. I don't have too much else on the hitter side. Like, even Luis Urias, I don't know. Yeah. It's like just kind of like a desperation conditional up the middle. More on the rotation. Like, is the hog in danger? I keep hearing JT Jin might be coming back, perhaps taking the hog spot. Gunnar Hoglund. I don't know. I'm so skeptical about JT Jin.
Yeah, this was in my recent PT tomorrow for the AL West. The conundrum that could take place, because the hog has proven should deserve some more run. Let's put it that way. He's even against the Dodgers on Wednesday was very serviceable, like very serviceable for a third career start going into LA and doing that. JT Ginn has showcased better velocity, better pitch mix, more strikeout, more swing and miss. Obviously went to the IL. He should get plenty of run. This team needs it, because the problem is Osvaldo Beto, who got destroyed on Thursday yet again. If you look at that over and over and over his stat line, it's been horrible this season. And he's old. And so that the old part's the only reason I see him sticking, because it's the A's and they want the olds to keep the young guys down. On a perfect world, Ginn and the Hog stick around and Beto's gone. that's
Beto still has a minor league option left. So that,
he should be in AAA.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if you have the hog, on Sunday, just
hold the hog until you find out what's going on.
I might drop the hog if he's out of the rotation.
Well, if he's out of the rotation, you have to drop the hog. But we have to hope the hog is stand strong and pitches again next week.
Yeah, because if the hog is still in there, it's a pretty stiff two-step. It's the Angels and then it's the Phillies. It'd be a nice two-step there.
It's a very good one against the Angels. Angels strike out a ton, a lot of swing and miss when you see the hog, so that's always good as well. So yeah. All right, let's move on to the Houston Astros on this one. We have three at Tampa Bay, four at home versus Seattle. All right-handed bats for Houston to face here. Where are you at here, though? Because Cam Smith, I dropped him last week, my last share, I believe, last week. I've been dropping him periodically the last few weeks. He sat the last two games, for crying out loud. It's been bad.
Yep.
So where are you at on this team? Zach DiZenzo has played consistently against right-handed pitching, which is weird. He sat versus lefty as a righty. Weird, but I digress. Because that was your concern last week, was playing time. That's been fine so far, given Yordan's supposed to return on Friday, so I guess we'll see how that plays out as well.
That's what I was going to add, is let's see what happens when Yordan Alvarez comes back. So if you have DiZenzo, keep an eye on that. I don't have much on the hitting side. It's really some questions on for the rotation. Like, they're kind of going six man right now. Like, Colton Gordon made his MLB debut.
Yeah,
was that today or yesterday?
It was yesterday, Wednesday.
Spot start. Go for Gusto. That did not work the early part of the week. Gusto got torched. So let's see. And McCullers obviously has not that has not gone well so far either. So interested to see what happens between like a McCullers. I think McCullers, they're going to give him plenty of leash. But like, is Gusto or Colton Gordon, are they on the fritz? Are they going to stay on a six man? I'm not sure.
I think Gusto has to stick in theory. Gordon's the interesting one. Blue Wad didn't get the call back, which is a bit surprising on that.
They went
to Gordon instead. Something to monitor there in that scenario. So, yeah, it's odd. I know they want to do six-man. It's the old joke in the preseason. It's like, oh, they want to do six-man until they can't do six-man anymore. Well, they're doing it right now because they had 17 games in 17 days or something along those lines. So they might do six-man for another week, essentially, and that'll change yet again. So you might get one more Gordon start. I think Gusto sticks in the rotation. We'll see. And then hopefully, like, we root for McCullers. I have no optimism on McCullers. He pitches again on Friday. We'll see how that goes. But it's been rough, obviously. But yeah, for the hitting side of things, we'll see what Yordan does when he comes back. I'm still a DiZenzo guy. I will always be a DiZenzo guy. I think the skill set's great. Shea Whitcomb is starting to rake in AAA again. So he should get a call pretty soon, because running Brendan Rodgers and Mauricio Dubon out there at second base is
not great.
Joke. Like, this kid is good. He hits for power. He's got some speed. I don't get franchise. It's got to be financial at this point to hold guys down. But I'll stop yammering about a guy we can't even pick up this week.
And yeah, it does kind of suck, because it's a seven righty week. Like, you'd love to have some lefties in there, but like, Astros don't even have a lefty.
No, they don't. That's like, why they
literally do not have one. So
no, it's an absolute joke when it comes to that. All right. Well, they have a lefty. His name's Yordan Alvarez. So hopefully he comes.
That's true. I should.
Yes. That's the only one.
Omission,
your point. But they could recall John Singleton. That'd be a no, skin. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. They have seven games coming up this week. Four at the Angels, three at home versus Miami. Pretty, pretty good week for a bad offense to face some good pitching. Seven games, one lefty, six righties. What are you doing with the Angels? Because there's a sneaky play potentially.
I mean, I'm very hesitant to say this man's name, but I will say Yoan Moncada. He is making hard contact. It's like an almost 20% barrel rate. He's hitting third in, again, an Angels lineup. But it's seven games of a guy who's hitting third with showing some hard contact against a very weak schedule, right? It's a 9.6 strikeout minus walk for the seven starters going against the Angels this week. So I think Yoan Moncada, if you're in a pinch in the corner, I think he's viable this week. And then you never know. You see what happens.
I don't disagree. The name I'm going to bring up, and it still comes down to what is the consistent playing time here, but we're seeing him play at least every other day for now. Maybe we'll see something better. So every other day makes it tough. I fully agree. But Matthew Lugo, He's been up. He has two home runs in his first. He's started one. He has started three games. He's pinch hit and played in three others. He strikes out a lot. There's no denying that. But I wanted to highlight this is the guy because, again, I know the AL West too well. It's not, I'm not proud of it. But
Does that work? Yeah.
He's hitting .212 on the season at AAA, which some people will be like, man, that is horrible, because it is. That's fair. It's pretty bad. It was a horrific start to AAA. This is a guy that's got definite, I don't know if prospect pedigree is the right word, but there's some optimism through his spring training performances, through the little bit we saw last season, and just over like his last 2 weeks at AAA, he's hitting .260 with three home runs. So there was improvements there. He got the call. It's just coming down to a playing time thing. If he plays enough, there are skills with Matthew Lugo to be a little bit excited about, kind of how we were with Kyron Paris. We saw how that fizzled out. Now it's Lugo's turn. You ride the hot hand and you move on type thing. So I just want to bring him up, at least in deeper formats. At least put him on your watch list. I just like him just because these matchups are so great this week. So something to keep an eye on.
Okay.
All right, Seattle Mariners, they have seven games coming up this week. Three at the White Sox. We know we like that a lot. Four at the Houston Astros. Not as great. One lefty, six righties for Seattle. Where are you going with your boys?
I'm getting rowdy this Yes. week. It's a six-game righty week, and it's a very good schedule against the Mariners. So I like Rowdy Tellez as a streamer. Leody Taveras is playing every day, so not – playing particularly well, but a potential speed outfield source if you're looking there. And then JP Crawford, I forget who you asked me who I'd prefer, Crawford or
Trey Sweeney.
Trey Sweeney. Still would prefer Sweeney, but Crawford will lead off seven games this week, assuming he's not injured too bad. I think it's a shoulder for him right now. So that's pretty much it. I think Rowdy Tellez is viable this week. We touched on the rotation at the top. I'm not adding Logan Evans or Jonathan Diaz, but if you have George Kirby, just keep an ear to the news and get Kirby active if he will indeed start this next week.
Yep. Good call there. I'm with you. Rowdy's about the main move. I'd be looking at Crawford does have viability if healthy. Texas Rangers, they have six games coming up this week. Three at the Yankees, three at that great White Sox matchup here. One lefty, five righties. Let's stick with the hitters first before we go to the elephant in the bullpen. Yeah. What do you like with the hitting side of things? Because it's a lot of righties, which bodes well for your jocks and your Carters, but are you interested in them?
I mean, not really. Evan Carter is probably pretty widely rostered at this point. So if you have Evan Carter, you're rolling with him in a five righty week. Jock, I don't know. Just don't see it turning around. But yeah, there is an elephant in the room with the Rangers.
Yes, let's talk about it. So Luke Jackson was already struggling to begin with. Then takes 107 miles an hour off the arm where it swelled up, but he's playing catch and they're hoping to have him back this weekend. So that's something to watch. And then Chris Martin goes out there, faces one batter. He gone. Oh. It doesn't look pretty. I don't think we've got a final diagnosis on that just yet. But
the Rangers hope that both can stay off the IL is the latest I saw. So that's good.
The point here now is Sean Armstrong, as of Thursday evening, picked up his second save since taking over. So my question to you, Ryan, how excited should we be about Sean Armstrong?
I mean, not really that excited. He's been in the majors for like 11 years, and I mean, has had some success, but 306, and what matters to us is what is the success, what's the usage this season. This season hasn't been that bad. It's a 306 ERA, FIP, XFIP, kind of like mid threes, which you can, that's passable for a closer. 16% strikeout minus walk, not missing many bats, not getting many ground balls. So like Sean Armstrong's not that good, but if Jackson and Martin are both out, I think it's pretty obvious he's the closer, getting saves, getting the team's last two saves. So much depends on the actual health of Jackson and Martin, because I do think that would be plan A and plan B. The timing for the Martin thing just totally sucks, because I think Chris Martin's really good. But I think Sean Armstrong, if those top two guys get hurt, I think he's at least a decent, like, short-term rental for saves. So
completely agree, a short-term rental, don't break the bank, but if you want to throw a few shekels out there, he's gonna get some run, especially if there's an IL stint in place. Because remember, pitchers have to go for 15 days, not 10. So you got a couple weeks potentially there. Let's go to the other elephant in the room. We talked about him earlier in the show. The great, the wonderful, the lefty, Patrick Corbin, is 7% rostered in OCs right now. And Patrick Corbin has allowed 3 earned runs or less in all 7 of his starts this season, Ryan. He's got 29 Ks, 13 walks, and 37 and 2/3. That's not great, obviously. He has a 3.35 ERA, a 4.4 XFIP, so regression coming, as we expect.
He still sucks, man.
I wanted to throw it out there to be honest, because I knew where you're going with this, but suck, not suck. Who cares? You know who sucks? The Chicago White Sox. So this is the moral of the story. We talk about it every week, Ryan. Why are we stopping now? It's because it's Patrick Corbin. You have PTSD?
Oh, I very much do. Who doesn't? Who doesn't?
True. If you play this game long enough, we've all been Corbin at some point in time.
So the bad part about Patrick Corbin, though, is you have to get through a start at the Yankees first on Tuesday. Oh, it's a two-step.
Oh, that is pretty
rough. That part I neglected to mention top.
You buried the lead. You buried the lead.
I think you still throw it, but man.
Yes. Whew. Yeah, that's rough. That's rough. That's rough in a really bad way. I don't even know where to go with that. That is horrible. But yeah, I think you have to roll with it because that White Sox start is so great. And Corbin's just found ways to dance right. And he did it last year, too. We talked about him a lot last year. You kept saying he sucks. I don't disagree. He's not great, but he finds ways to just not get destroyed enough. He will get destroyed a couple starts. That will happen. But he won't get helped. So that's good.
I wouldn't rule that out at some point.
Yeah, maybe it's the Yankees because they do destroy left-handed pitching. All right, let's go to the National League here. The Atlanta Braves, they have 6 games coming up this week, 3 at the Washington Nationals, 3 at home versus San Diego Padres, 2 lefties, 4 righties. What do you like in Atlanta?
I guess Spencer Strider is coming back. sitting, 93-94 in his sim game this week? So,
not even a rehab game. Like, what are we doing?
If you have Strider, are you starting him? I think you have to.
No. Yeah, you do. You do have to, but I didn't draft him, so I don't.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying, if you have Strider on your team,
you do have to start him. Sadly enough, you do.
I'm just skeptical, but Spencer Strider is back. He comes back at like a decent time. I don't think they need a fifth starter for a little while. So like, assuming Strider stays healthy, Elder. Who gets booted? Is it Elder or Smith Shawver?
Shawver, that's a joke. Like,
exactly.
Come on.
Exactly. So I think Smith Shawver he's pitching so well right now. I think, and obviously widely rostered, but that was a move to make a week or two ago. He's looking really good. Should still be in there once Strider comes back. But that's about all I have. I mean, hitter wise on the Braves, I don't have much.
No, there's not much there. Acuna's rehabbing. It's weird because he's already up to AAA. He played 6 innings in the outfield on Thursday. But they keep saying he's going to need like 2 to 3 weeks. Like they want to slow play him there, but it's like they want to slow play him, but it feels like they're fast playing him already. So I don't know where they're going with that. They say 2 to 3 weeks. I kind of have a weird feeling we'll see him next weekend. But barring a setback, we'll keep an eye on that one because they need offensive help in Atlanta. It's been a pretty slow go for them. And I think they might force that situation.
That would mean Eli White is out, right? So the magical run Eli White has been on. I think is no more. You don't
Eli
think
White
so?
Probably goes. He goes to the bench, I would say. So yes, he's out of the lineup.
Oh, yeah, but like
I think Stuart Fairchild is out. Is what it goes down to. One thing I want to mention for deeper leagues, like I talked about Edgar Caro playing every other game. We got Drake Baldwin playing every other game, but Drake Baldwin's hitting well right now, better than Edgar Caro potentially, which pains me to say. Since May 7th, we have Baldwin playing in 7 games before tonight. He hit safely in 6 of 7 games with 2 home runs, hitting .667 with a 13% K rate. Dude's hitting really good right now. He's developing into the prospect they thought, 23% barrel rate, 54% hard hit over that 7-game stretch. So if you're in a 15-teamer, 2-catcher league, Drake Baldwin should be rostered. He should be, but if he's not, he's very, very viable at this point in time, is what I wanted to point out.
Yep, that's much better, even if you're only playing half the time or even a little bit less than half. That's better than, like, I've still got like Danny Jansen on some of my teams.
Yeah, he's better than Danny Jansen right now. Yes.
Yeah. I guess Jansen did homer this week, but yeah, Baldwin in 15 teamers is still on main event 39% rostered. So that should go still up. Yeah, very widely available. That yeah, I'm sure that will go up because Drake Baldwin, man, the skills have been very good. Very yeah. good. So
yeah, he's 10% no C's. Like honestly, I love Edgar Caro. I might add Baldwin over Caro at this point in time.
What about the Goose?
Really, oh no, the goose is loose. Goose went deep again on Wednesday. The Goose is awesome. Our buddy Curlin put out a great tweet on him, like about his quality of contact metrics and just everything you're seeing with him. He DHs or catches. He plays pretty much every single day hitting the top half of that lineup. I have zero concerns with Goose. He will be a top 10 fantasy catcher before things are all said and done. I will stand by that statement. Speaking of the Goose, the Miami Marlins, six games this week, three at home versus Chicago, three at the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, one lefty, five righties for the Marlins. The Goose should not be loose on your waiver wires. So where else are you looking this week?
I'm looking at the rotation. I'm looking at Ryan Weathers came back, looked very good. Ryan Weathers is 57% rostered in 12 teamers on the NFBC. So that could be a lot of like later drafts when Weathers was injured. Yeah. He just wasn't drafted. So like, I'm sure in tout and in labor, he was drafted and then put on the IL, but in leagues, I mean, check if Ryan Weathers is around, because who knows how long Ryan Weathers stays healthy, but could be very good. And then seems like we have some clarity on the closer situation in Miami. It looks like it's Jesus Tinoco who has picked up the team's last two saves on Saturday and on Wednesday. Tinoco has a
23% roster rate.
Yeah, because thing is, he's got a 4.61 ERA, a 5% strikeout minus walk. Like, the skills haven't been good, but he's got the job. So you just kind of hope that stays.
He's got the job, and it's that old like adage with closers. If you look at him, he's made, I'm just going to say, 3, 5, 6, 9. He's made 13 appearances. He has 10 appearances with zero runs. He's got hit hard in three outings. Strikeouts still stink. I'm with you there, but like when we look at the ERA, I just want to bring it up to listeners, because the ERA for a reliever just gets ballooned quickly because of minuscule situations. He's been very, very good, all things considered. So yeah, get your Tinoco on. If you like, I'd rather have Tinoco than whatever Armstrong's doing in Texas right about now. So
agreed.
Make your priorities in line there. And then again, I keep pointing out, guys, you should be careful with Max Meyer has on the massive struggle bus of late.
Dude. So
keep that in mind. He's in the daily matchups on Friday as well, because he is not an auto start either these days, folks. Just want to point, like, you got to watch these things a little closer. With as bad as pitching is, this is why we at least talk about guys like Birdsong, Kyle Harrison, these other guys. Like, I'd rather start some of these guys than these questionable pitchers. Don't drop them, but just be careful to auto start them.
Yeah, that 14 strikeout game from Max Meyer, that's the ultimate whipsaw for me. I did not have him active that game, and so it's not good.
Got that stings. I probably didn't either, but I don't remember because I blacked those things out. New York Mets, they have six games coming up this week, three at Boston, three against the Dodgers. That's some good matchups there for us to enjoy, not for them to face. Two lefties, four righties. I don't have a whole lot when it comes to the Mets.
No, I'll throw Brett Beatty out there. It's kind of a tough start. I mean, Beatty's been hitting very well lately, but still just a platoon bat, only going to face right-handed pitchers. And again, I don't, the Mets are set to face four. So that's always kind of, you've got to be really good to make that worth starting. I don't know if Beatty's quite there yet, but in weeks where the Mets face a ton of righties, Brett Beatty, I think, is certainly viable, but not playing against lefties. That's pretty much all I have for the Mets.
All right, let's go to the Philadelphia Phillies, who have quite the schedule coming their direction, folks. Seven games this week, all on the road. You might go, oh, crap, they're on the road. Yeah, four at Coors, three at Sacramento.
Yeah.
This is one of the weeks, folks. It's two lefties, five righties. This is great as well. Brandon Marsh is 10% rostered in OCs. Feel free to add your Brandon Marsh shares for the week. Don't get too worried about that one. But this is a week, if you have your – it's a team we usually don't talk much about because they use the same lineup over and over again, but Marsh is available, so you might want to make that happen.
Yeah, you want to make that happen. Look at that 8% K to walk of the of the starters facing the Phillies this week. It was Max Kepler. God, Max Kepler is 100% roster.
Yeah,
so never mind.
Rostered. Yeah.
So yeah, I like the Brandon Marsh call. And then what are we doing with Jordan Romano somehow is back in closing. Yeah, what? Like, I had back no idea games. That was even possible, but he is.
And I know Alvarado's kind of been doing more of the high leverage guys in the eighth, it seems like, but yeah, back-to-back saves for Romano, so it could be Romano time, which is terrifying. He's looked a little better, I'll give him that much. Like, it's not a complete joke, but 29% rostered in 12s, like, he might be one worth taking a shot on as well.
Like, over Armstrong, over Tinoco, because the thing, too, is like, and maybe Romano doesn't get every save, you know, we know how Philadelphia works, but like, the two games where Romano got the save, Alvarado got the hold.
Yeah.
And had not pitched. It wasn't like a usage thing. Alvarado did not pitch like the previous game in either situation. So it was the same game. Alvarado appeared earlier and Romano closed it out. So I would have to say it's at least a share again. Maybe yeah. Just matchup dependent. They're righty lefty. So maybe it's something like that. But if Jordan Romano is decent again, maybe they found something. And obviously the Phillies, if they're going to put Romano back in the ninth, they feel confident in him. It kind of goes back to what we're talking about with Vest and
Bingo. That's what I was wondering.
Canely. Yeah. If you get 15, 20 saves out of these guys, that's good.
Yep. Completely agree. I was going to do the Tigers comparison as well. So I like that shout. That's the first thing that came to mind thinking of that. So yeah, get your Romano, get your Brandon Marsh and enjoy one heck of a schedule for whatever Phillies you already have rostered.
Yes.
Washington Nationals, 6 games coming up this week, all at home, 3 versus the Braves, 3 versus the Giants, 2 lefties, 4 righties. I don't have a ton when it comes to Washington.
No, I don't either. This is, I think, a team we can probably pass, like maybe Josh Bell, but it's a tough schedule. So I'm not looking at the Nats this week.
Cubbies, they have 6 games this week, all on the road, 3 in South Beach against the Marlins and 3 at Great American Small Park, which is great. Problem is, Ryan, it's 3 lefties and 3 righties.
It's 3 lefties, 3 righties. I think the elephant here is Moises.
Two lefties in Cincinnati, too. Oof.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Moises Ballesteros. I think I know where you're already shaking your head, so I know where you're going to go with this one. I would be very tepid in bidding on Moises Ballesteros. Like, the Cubs already have 2 catchers. I don't think they're going to make Ballesteros their everyday DH. And did not play against the lefty on Wednesday. I just don't think the playing time is going to be there for the young unit.
He is a unit, that is for sure. Yeah, rooting for him. Don't think the playing time is there. There's another young catcher we're going to talk about later. Playing time's not there either. So, like Ballesteros a lot, they need a catching injury to make him happen for fantasy, and that's not there yet. So, yeah, I don't have much else when it comes to the Cubbies.
The only other thing...
Kane Wharton?
How about this? I'll one up you. Drew Pomeranz. Oh, fuck. Got the save on Monday, man. I don't know.
He did. At Porter Hodge through back-to-back games.
Yeah, but then Hodge came in, I think, early on a game on Wednesday. Suffice to say, I don't think we know who the Cubs closer is right now.
That's fair. Now, that part,
I'm confident it's not Presley.
It's very confident it's not Presley. Yes, I'm with you there as well. Okay.
But I don't know if it's 100% Hodge. I mean, Pomeranz. I can't say his name again.
In my mouth again. Like, you might maybe be right, too. Again, crazy, oh, you might be right. That's the crazy part. And if it is, man, what is this? What is going on in 2025 if it's Drew Pomeranz?
Yeah, I don't think it is. But
how much fab would you throw at him?
Who? Drew Pomeranz?
Pomeranz, the new closer of the Cubs, apparently.
like 0. I don't think I would even bid on Pomeranz. Okay, I don't think he's the closer. But he got the save. Dude got a save. He has the most recent point. Save.
Valid point. I'm with you there. It's just, man, if Craig Counsell goes there and they need to fire him and just pay him the 8 more years they owe him or whatever, call it a day. That's a rough look right there if that's the case. All right, let's go to Cincinnati. The Reds, 3 at Pittsburgh, 3 at home versus the Cubs and Great American, 3 lefties, 3 righties as well, making Cincinnati another tough one.
Yeah, we do have it's a tough one. Will Benson's back in our lives, yeah, homered, but yeah. A platoon bat, 3 lefty, 3 righty. I don't think you can do anything there. Emilio Pagan still entrenched for the Reds. I don't have really anything else. Yeah. Like, tough week to start, Gavin Lux.
Yeah.
Look for TJ. Potentially TJ Friedel too might be hurt. So
yep.
Keep an eye on that one.
A lot of rough situations there in Cincinnati. Year after year, every offseason, we're like, oh, this team's so loaded. And then they just all get hurt every year. It's pretty wild. Milwaukee Brewers, they have 7 games coming up this week. 3 at home versus Baltimore, 4 at the Pittsburgh Pirates, 2 lefties, 5 righties from Milwaukee. But it's just one of these teams that I'm not picking up Jake Bowers. So, no.
No, I'm not really doing anything on the hitter side. I do it. Do what?
Oh, Logan? Yes. Yes.
That's Logan Anderson. Right. Yes. I mean, so I'll let you go on him, but like, I mean, how confident are you he sticks in the rotation? Because I think at least to me, was called up out of the blue, right? This week. I did not think he'd be up. But.
No. He got called up because of the setback. Well, okay, there's two things to this. If you really want to dig deep.
See, this is why I yield the floor to you. I don't know any of this stuff.
If you want to dig deep into the logistics of baseball, Logan Henderson was called up because Woodruff was supposed to be back, then he had a setback with the ankle injury. Tobias Myers was sent down earlier this week. Tobias Myers could only come back if someone went on the IL within 10 days. Woodruff was already on the IL, so technically, I don't believe Myers could have came up. Myers came up when Quintana was put on the IL a couple of days later. So, to your question, Henderson was up first, looked dazzling once again in his second start. I think he's great. I'd take him over Zebby Matthews, honestly.
Whoa.
If we knew Logan Henderson would stick, I'm trying to tell myself Logan Henderson sticks till Woodruff comes back, which could be another couple weeks potentially. We don't know because he's got to ramp back up after this ankle heals. Tobias Myers, they already sent him down. They don't think he's ready for the bigs right now. So that's why I think Logan Henderson stays up. Plus, Quintana's out for 2 weeks too. So you basically have Myers and Henderson battling for at least the next 2 weeks for that rotation spot, the way I see it.
Yeah, and then and another 2 weeks, someone else will get hurt. So yes, like he could stay.
Huh. That's my point. So I take my chance at Logan Henderson on this one.
You probably can get him cheaper than Zebby Matthews, I would assume.
Bingo. That's where I sit on that one. Like, he's looked real, real good. More than anything, it's the control part. Like, the strikeouts are there, but a lot of these young guys, they throw strikeouts and the control's off. His controls looks pretty good in the first couple starts. And that's something that I look at with these young guys. So, yes. All righty. Now that that's over with, Pittsburgh Pirates, 7 games coming up this week, all at home. 3 versus Cincinnati, 4 versus Milwaukee, 1 lefty, 6 righties. But it's the Pittsburgh Pirates.
It is the Pittsburgh Pirates. All I've got is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa's back from the IL, so I think he's actually pretty good. You can get your stolen bases from a variety of different positions with IKF in a 7-game week against a pretty crappy set of starters going against the Pirates. I think it's a good week for Mr. IKF, but other than that, man, like I'm not recommending Matt Gorski or Adam Frazier.
What I'd recommend is Dennis Santana is 62% rostered in OCs right now. Dennis Santana came back from, I believe it was bereavement or paternity. I think it was bereavement list. While he was out, Bednar got a couple saves, looked phenomenal. Since then, Santana has a win and a save. Bednar has pitched the high leverage. So I will say that much. Like, he's pitched some really high leverage 8th innings. But my point is, it might not be as cut and dry as like the Tigers situation, but Santana's still in the mix. So Santana's going to get his, and that at least makes him on the radar for your 12-team and deeper leagues.
Agreed. Bednar certainly has not completely taken back over the job, as you said. So we might have to do a "Is he alive?" type search for this? Spencer Horwitz. Wasn't he supposed to be back?
That's a great point. Because
what happened to my guy here?
Ah, that's a great call, because a couple of weeks ago I mentioned he's about to start a rehab assignment on a Breakfast with Bubba, and then it's been crickets. That is a really good point.
Latest RotoWire is May 10th, and it says, still finding groove. Horwitz has gone 4-for-28 with 5 strikeouts in his rehab assignment. So I guess he is alive.
I just pulled up a thing, and this is from 11 hours ago on the old Twitter box. Spencer Horwitz is now 6-for-13 in his last 3 games, including this home run in Indianapolis. He's batting .323.
There we go.
817 OPS at AAA.
Okay.
So it must just be getting up to speed. He can't be sitting down too much longer, it feels like.
Yeah, and I don't think Horowitz is like stash worthy or anything, but I think once he's back, he's certainly, I think, first base, second base eligible and pretty good.
Yeah, he's got 31 plate appearances. So literally, it's his spring training right now is what it comes down to. So
yeah, okay,
that makes sense. Wouldn't be shocked if we hear about him next week, honestly, if he's got 31 plate appearances already.
Yeah, true.
So that's a good call.
Sneak chat in deep leagues. Spencer Horowitz, I guess, is where we're landing on that one.
That's a really good call, right? Because I totally zoned out. There's a that's a good one on that one.
Like every that now one. And then, man. After
that's not I think what you, I meant. That's I think, not what I meant.
I think you blocked out after going through the history of MLB logistics with Logan Henderson's call.
I blacked out. Never mind. St. Louis Cardinals. They have 6 games coming up this week. 3 at home versus Detroit. 3 at home versus Arizona. 1 lefty and 5 righties for a team that pretty much plays the same guys over and over again.
Right. And so for Fab, like I don't know. Ivan Herrera's back and hitting, so that's great. But like, yeah, I don't see anything Fab wise. This is like the most still team out there. So,
and one of the best offenses in baseball, which is insane. All right. NL West, Arizona Diamondbacks, they hit the road. 3 at the Dodgers, 3 at the Cardinals, 1 lefty, 5 righties. My God, Corbin Carroll is amazing. Keep an eye on Ketel Marte's injury. That's something to watch this weekend, folks. But what else stands out to you with the D-backs?
I mean, we got to talk Jordan Lawler, right? I mean, I'm still nervous about the lack of playing time.
Well, they at least flat out said, like, expect like 4 games a week as basically a Josh Smith super utility, which we agreed on Tuesday. Josh Smith is serviceable once someone gets hurt. And I agree with that could be Jordan Lawler when someone gets hurt. But do you want to pay to stash him until someone gets hurt is the question.
Right. So I would counter with like, and we kind of talked about this and maybe on the last show, but like, I do think Lawler is worth bidding on. I think he has potential game-changing ceiling. And if he is playing like 3 different positions, he's 1 injured. Like there are multiple paths to him being a regular. And if you can get Jordan Lawler this week, at somewhat of a discount because he's playing 4 games a week. I just think someone's going to get hurt. I mean, it could be Lawler himself for all we know, given his injury history, but I still would not rule out. And I'm not saying you were saying that. I just think this is someone who like you have a pretty rare opportunity to get someone with a very high ceiling. Don't know if it happens in 2025, but there's a chance. And so you always want to be involved in that.
No, I completely agree with that. Like, I don't want to write him off by any means, but just temper your expectations at first blush.
I feel like he's more of a like you add him as a stash. Feel like you treat him as opposed to someone you're depending on right away.
Yep, very tough to just roster and start right away for sure. Yeah. All right, Coors Field. Can we put Kevin Ginkle to bed? We good with that?
What happened to Kevin Ginkle?
Well, because there was like for a while it was
I got you.
Going to be
like when he got hurt. Yeah, Shelby Miller. I mean, it seems like Shelby Miller is the dude. I don't know.
Back to back save. So I just wanted to bring that up because I know for a while there it was still kind of up for debate, but it seems like that has been settled for now. So keep that in mind.
Yep.
All right, Colorado Rockies. They have 7 games this week, all in Coors Field. 4 against the Phillies, 3 against the Yankees. Ouch! 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 And ouch! Yeah. And it's 4 lefties and 3 righties to just put insult to injury there with the Rockies. So I have really not a whole lot to add to that one.
Agreed. It's the Rockies are terrible. The bad Rockies are awful. It's yes, it's 7 home games, but it's a 4-3 split. So any kind of platoon bats, your Moniak, Martini, Amador, those guys you can't really go with. And on top of all that, it's an 18% strikeout minus walk for the 7 pitchers going against the Rockies. So still weird to not recommend any Rockies on a full Coors week, but that's where we're at right now.
That is where we're at, and it's not pretty. My question is, do you start Ryan Yarbrough against the Rockies?
Hell yeah. Yes. Good call.
Just wanted to bring that up.
Is he going? Right. Is he going 5? What are we doing?
Let me check. So I know he opened the other day, and I thought he went 4 or 5. Let me pull that up real quick because he's technically still the long man on roster resource. In his last outing, he went 5 innings, 2 runs, 2 strikeouts at the A's, which is a tough place to pitch. Then he went 4 out of in his previous. So he's made 2 starts, 4 innings, 5. He stretched out. Yes, play Ryan Yarbrough in Coors Field.
Okay.
That is a thing as I add it to my list on this one. All right. Los Angeles Dodgers, one of the best teams in baseball. Six games this week, three at homers, Arizona, three at the Mets, two lefties, four righties. Ha-Sung Kim is 48% rostered, Ryan.
Yeah, and looks pretty good. It's just, will looks he play against lefties? Will he that play against lefties? So, like, Kim's only going to start probably four games this week. Again, that's, it's that gray area. It's that tough one for a platoon bat, whether to roll with him or not. We got to talk Dalton rushing, right?
Yeah,
because that's just,
yes.
I mean, people are interested in Fab for Dalton rushing. Big time prospect, got called up on Tuesday or Wednesday. I think he's firmly behind Will Smith. It doesn't seem like the Dodgers are going to play him in the outfield either. So I would be very tepid with rushing, similar to Moises Ballesteros.
Ballesteros thinks gets more at bats than rushing, and it's not much. But the Dodgers flat out said rushing is the backup to Austin Barnes. Rushing said, "I'm here to back up Austin Barnes." Not Austin Barnes, Will Smith. Sorry, yeah. Austin Barnes got DFA'd. Will Smith. The Dodgers flat out said that they will not play rushing in the outfield. Now again, things can change. We don't trust teams, especially Dave Roberts, by any means. But right now, it feels like it's about two games a week for rushing. So do with that what you wish. That's tough to roster right now. So. Ha-Sung Kim is my dude to take a peek at. James Outman in his second home run tonight, if that interests you at all. Throwing that on the table. I think he's much better than any people want to give him credit for, anybody, because most people don't.
They're playing twice.
Well, yeah, I get it. But it's basically each half week, it's two starts, essentially, if you... Because right now, guys keep sitting on getaway days anyway, so that's what makes it annoying.
Yep, exactly.
I do want to bring up something because I noticed it. We bombed on him during the Bloom boards on Tuesday, but Michael Conforto now has hit safely in four straight games. There's still no homers. He had three doubles a couple nights ago. But one thing with Conforto, I'll just pick an arbitrary number. Let's just pick May 1st to make things see where things land here. He's starting to hit the ball well. He has a almost 17% barrel rate and 63% hard hit rate. He's starting to like square the ball up because I just want to bring it up because we poo-pooed him basically early on Tuesday. He is starting to show those signs where it's like, okay, maybe things are going to start clicking here for Conforto. So if people have given up on him, if I or someone else have given up on him, maybe don't do that so fast. If that makes sense. He's 33% in 12s. So it's another guy to keep an eye on.
86% in 15s, Conforto. Wow.
Okay.
So good call though. Yeah, we kind of nuked the guy, and still, I mean, we'll see.
Oh, it's been bad. It's been dreadful.
But yeah, at least a good sign that he is hitting the ball harder of late. That is not a bad thing.
All right, San Diego Padres. They have six games this week: three at Toronto, three at Atlanta. All six righties. The team that plays the same players over and over again.
Yeah, I'll just throw in there that Yu Darvish is either starting or on a rehab assignment. So who knows what Yu Darvish looks like when he comes back. But I think given the state of the starting pitching free agent pool, I think Yu Darvish is kind of stash worthy. He's available. You never know.
20% rostered in 12s. I'm glad you brought him up because if you didn't, I was. He's going to be on tonight's Breakfast with Bubba, I record. He threw his first rehab start on Wednesday. I believe he went four innings, gave up two runs through 51 pitches. He probably has two more rehab starts before he returns. The goal is by the end of May. So we should be getting Darvish back very soon. So I completely agree. The velocity was back like around 93, 94, which is great for Darvish right now. So they slow played it with him for a reason. Very old. They're half hit coming back. I expect sooner than Darvish. All right, last year at San Francisco and six games, three first of those, three righties. See you.
Yeah, you're cutting in and out for me. I don't know if that's for everyone else.
All those like basketball, this plays out.
Didn't get much from that one, so I'll leave you to talk more about the Giants. You're the Giants guy. I don't have anything.
Talk in my right now, so you take the forums, please. Right, hear me. Oh, so that's it. I guess we'll wrap up with that.
All right, I'm going to take over, I think, because we Scott just said Bubba froze in the comments as well. So I wasn't sure if it's... Oh, no, I think you're back now.
You good? No, I still have bad service, so run with it for a little bit until it comes back.
All right, so we'll switch over to the top free agent risers tab. I'll just kind of run through this. We typically do this just to kind of check our work, make sure we didn't miss anybody too big. The top ad is Moises Ballesteros, and we both don't agree with that. Neither of us think the playing time is there. Addison Barger's number two, up 7%. These are Fantrax percentages, now 30% owned. Big right-hand heavy week for Toronto, so we like Addison Barger. Trevor Larnach, I think the Twins get four righties, so again, that gray area for platooners, but hitting very well lately near the top of the order against righties. Bubba's guy. Maybe Bubba's still frozen, so I can still...
I'm back.
You're back. Damn it.
Bring it, buddy. Bring it, buddy.
Bubba's favorite player in Major League Baseball, Ernie Clement, is a riser.
I think he can pull a fast one past me, and yep, I'm sitting here just waiting.
Damn it. Can't recommend that one. Brett Beatty's rising. Drake Baldwin, we're both against that one just because of playing time. Trent Grisham's rising, but 75% rostered in Fantrax, so pretty much widely rostered. I don't see anyone we did not talk about on this hitter riser list, at least.
No one worth it. Like, there's Cody Clemens, Emmanuel Rivera. I don't really care about them for the most part.
Those are guys up 1%. Yeah.
We nail most of them for sure. I do like seeing Drake Baldwin getting some love, so that's good. And Barger near the top as well. So yeah.
There's my guy, Will Benson, up to 8%. No, can't do it. Cannot do it.
No, so. You can't, and you shouldn't. Let's go to the pitching side of things. Colton Gordon at the top because he just got called up, so people are probably streaming him. But Logan Henderson, boom shakalaka.
Yeah, and even in Fantrax leagues, only 51% rostered. A lot of these Fantrax leagues are keeper leagues, and so that kind of tells me the market is kind of sleeping on Logan Henderson. So we'll kind of go back to what Bubba's history of the roster rules for Major League Baseball there, and we think Logan Henderson will at least get a couple more turns, and once that happens, you never know, if he pitches well, that could stick. Someone else gets hurt. Jordan Romano up 6%, up to 45%, probably has a good share of the Philly saves, as we talked about Will Warren. My God, here's Patrick Corbin and Chris Paddock. Look at that.
Amazing. This is 2022.
Jesus. Up 6% and 5% respectively. Corbin gets the two step. Chris Paddock, we both think, is a ticking time bomb. Dylan Lee, I'm not totally sure. That's Atlanta reliever.
Yeah, it's a reliever, so I wouldn't get too excited about that one.
Yeah, and Raisel Iglesias looks pretty. Yeah, he's had a couple of hiccups this year, but
got the same on Thursday.
Yep, I think he's fine. So.
Yeah.
Ryan Weathers is someone I brought up with the Marlins, up 4%, up to 63% in Fantrax. Really like Ryan Weathers. Don't know how long he will last, but on a per inning basis, I think Ryan Weathers can be a top starting pitcher ad for you this week.
And one thing I forgot to mention by looking at this list that stands out, like Matt Sauer, the Dodgers, got the spot start out of the bullpen on Thursday. Landon Knack is right there as well. Knack pitched, I believe, on Tuesday or Wednesday. The Dodgers came out on Thursday and said Landon Knack is the favorite for the fifth starters role right now with the Dodgers. They're not going to go to Kasperius with these injuries. So Knack probably has the chance to hold that until Glasnow comes back. So if you're a Landon Knack guy, he'd be another guy to put on your radar this week. A guy that probably gets at least four starts or so before the pitchers come back and change things up. I'm not married to Landon Knack by any means, but I get it in certain formats of stream for sure.
Might get a two-step next week. He pitches Monday, so I guess he will, but he pitches against Arizona on Monday. That's not great, Bob. So
other than that, though, we've talked about a lot of these guys in the past. Most of them aren't even rostered. There's Zebby. Yeah, good point. Anyone else on this list?
If we had to rank starting pitcher ads this week for Fab, Zebby, Henderson, Weathers, ooh, Will Warren.
Ooh.
How would you rank those four? Zebby, Henderson, Weathers, and Warren.
I go Weathers. That's a good one, too. I go Weathers. Weathers, Henderson, Warren, Zebby.
Okay.
I almost put Warren second. I do like Henderson a lot. He just needs to stay in the rotation. I like him a lot.
And it goes without saying, but all four of those behind Patrick Corbin, right?
No, those because those are more long term plays. How would you rank those four?
I would go Zebby, Warren, Weathers, Henderson. But I like them all.
Yeah. But that's a good
Michael one. Henderson over Warren. I don't know. That's tough. I like that. They're all. Yeah. I mean, I will be in on all four for sure.
Yeah, because Warren played so well or pitched so well his last couple starts. But it's like, is that who he is now, or is just a couple right. good starts? That's
true. Maybe one. I'll have Henderson above Warren.
No, I'm not saying you need to change it. That's just my question with him and how to approach it. All right. With that being said, it's two step time, my friend. Let's get after it here. We'll start with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Brandon Pfaadt at the Dodgers at St. Louis. I'd say yes. It's not a great.
Yeah, but that's scary as hell, dude.
Two step. Yeah.
Jesus. Oof. Yeah. Bring your Rolaids.
Yeah, I think you have to do it, but I could see the argument in 12s to not, but I still think you have to do it.
I think so.
The A's appears JT Ginn versus the Angels versus Phillies, but obviously up in the air.
Up in the air. And I don't even think I would do that coming off an injury. Yeah.
Yeah. And then if not, and they also have Beto, which could be the Hog. So would you do Ginn, Beto, or the Hog in any scenario against the Angels and Philadelphia in Sacramento?
I'd probably start the Hog in 15s. I wouldn't do Beto or Ginn. Ginn,
yeah, that's a tough stretch. Spencer Strider at Washington versus San Diego. You kind of have to, but man, I just don't feel good about him right now.
Ditto. But yeah, if you have Strider, you're starting him. Yeah.
Baltimore, you got Dean Kramer at Milwaukee, at Boston.
The good Dean. In 15s, I would. Yeah, in 15s, I would.
What about Sagano?
Yeah, okay. I would. I like Sagano a little more than the Dean, actually.
I'm with you there. I would have Sagano over the Dean as well. Hunter Dobbins versus the Mets versus Baltimore.
Ooh, God. Dobbins has pitched well. A missing bat, 12% swinging strike, throwing strikes. It's a 33% ball. I would, it's a tough set of matchups, but I would probably throw Dobbins in a 15. I don't think I would in a 12.
In 15s, yes, 12, no. This is why they might not need to replace Tanner Houck. Walker Buehler's back next Tuesday. That's pretty much been made about 90% official. He'd get the Mets and Baltimore coming back from his IL stint.
Dude, that's tough. I don't think so, man.
I would sit him.
I'd wait and see there.
Yeah. Ben Brown at Miami at Great American Small Park.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You have to. Cincinnati, Nick Lodolo at Pittsburgh versus the Cubs. Yes.
Cubs is tough, but yes, you would.
Cleveland, Logan Allen at Minnesota at Detroit.
No. I would not.
15s, yes. Minnesota Logan Allen's terrible. Is a thing. Logan Allen's got 370 ERA. He pitched really well today or yesterday. 15s, yes. Gavin Williams is terrible at Minnesota, at Detroit.
Gavin Williams is better than Logan Allen.
I was waiting. I set you up. He just walks right. So many freaking people. He strikes out a ton as well.
I was hoping to get a beer bet out of that one, bro.
No, he's a whip killer, but he's surviving right
yes,
now.
Yes, I mean, Gavin Williams, the control is just not there. It's a 39% ball rate. Like, he just does not throw strikes, which means you don't go deep into games. Your whip sucks, yada, yada. But still better than Logan Allen.
Yeah, that's fair. The Rockies, your boy, Kyle Freeland versus Philadelphia versus the Yankees in Colorado.
Oh, no, I know. I stopped. I got to stop, man. I got to get off the Kyle Freeland train.
That's a rough one right there. I'm not even going to ask you about Sensatella. That's an easy no. Davis Martin of the White Sox versus Seattle versus Texas. No.
No. That's your boy.
Scoobles, yes. Not my boy. Scooble, yes. Framber Valdez, yes. Chris Bubich, yes. Jose Soriano at the A's versus Miami. That's a pretty interesting two-step.
That's a very interesting two-step. I would throw it and just hope the A's have an off day or something.
Yep, I would throw it too because that Miami starts there. I think Kyle Hendricks at the A's versus Miami. No.
Yeah,
good. Cal Quantrill versus the Cubs at the Angels.
No.
Yeah, I know. I almost didn't even I almost didn't even do it. Quinn Priester versus Baltimore at Pittsburgh.
No.
Facing his former team in Pittsburgh.
I don't care if he's facing his little league team.
Bailey Ober versus Cleveland versus Kansas City. Yes. Kodai Senga, yes. Will Warren versus Texas at Colorado, yes.
Yeah, that's another wrinkle then in our comparison there. I didn't really realize Warren had a two-step, but yeah, you absolutely.
Jesus Lazardo, yes. Nola, yes.
Whoa, right? Otto, well, yes.
At Colorado, at the A's, I figured he'd say yes, but that A start is not a gimme.
I'm just surprised you said Otto, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, I spoke for you. Mitch Keller, not Hunter Brown, Mitch Keller versus Cincinnati versus Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's reasonable enough matchup-wise.
15s only. Bailey Falter versus Cincinnati versus Milwaukee.
God, felt that's the movable object against the stoppable force. I don't even know him 15s if I would do that. Bailey Falter is not good.
Dylan Cease, yes. Brian Wu, yes. Luis Castillo at the White Sox at Houston. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Robbie Ray, yes. Eric Fede versus Detroit versus Arizona.
Fede kind of shoved his last time out, but no, that's a tough two-step. Almost as many walks as strikeouts for Eric Fede. No, I'm not doing that.
Ryan Pepio versus Houston versus Toronto.
Yeah. Yep.
Patrick Corbin at the Yankees at the White Sox.
I'll let you answer that one, man.
It's a yes, but like you said, bring your rolloids, your Tums, whatever you need. Do not beer bet me. I am not doing it. Stop.
Oh, wait. No, never mind. I'm not going to beer bet anything. I looked up the wrong Corbin. I was looking up Corbin Burns. Never mind.
Okay. Chris Bassett versus San Diego at Tampa. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
And then this one's interesting because he might not even start because he left his last start after getting a comeback off his leg. Mitchell Parker versus Atlanta versus the Giants. He's been bad, like really bad lately.
No, yeah, he has been really bad. The Braves are really bad against lefties, so
yep.
I still don't think I could do it. I still don't think I would start Mitchell Parker.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I have to. I liked him a lot early on, but the underlying metrics suggested a downfall was coming, and it has come. So stay away from that one as well. But I'll do it, my friend. We covered a lot on this one between news and other stuff. Like, this was a pretty deep one for, I don't know if it was originally going to be a deep fab week, but I wrote down more names than last week, that's for sure. So we got some options.
It's a good fab week. Couple good pitchers. You got a couple spots where you might want to go with closers. There's some stayaways on the hitting side with the prospects, most notably the two catchers. Jordan Lawler is very interesting. There's some good streamers. So yeah, pretty active fab week, which will be tough because I'll be out of town, but whatever.
And I'll be enjoying beverages this weekend. So we'll see how that goes as well. other than that, we'll wrap it up there, my friend. Enjoy your trip. Enjoy. Hopefully the weather gets a little warmer on Sunday for you for your festivities.
We'll see. And this will be my last, I don't think anyone's listening at this point, hour 33 in, but it'll be my last show in my 30s. So I'll come back on Tuesday, an old man.
Yeah. So happy birthday to Mr. Bloomfield over there, folks. Make sure you blow up his Twitter. He loves that with tons of happy birthday notes, but enjoy the time. Tell Raj I said what's up, and hope
always you guys
have a good one, but make sure y'all follow Ryan on Twitter at Ryan BHQ so you can let him know happy birthday. The podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod on patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I am on Twitter at BDNTrick. Until next time, this was Bubba and the Bloom episode 243, your week 9 fab preview. Catch y'all next time.